श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपाल गोपीनाथ स्वामी के व्यवहार के गेरी का विधान की जाए तुम्हें माया की गंध माया की दवासी देवी भक्ति देवी की जाए समय तक तुम्हें की जाए श्री वृंदावन सेवा की जाए नाइटी टाइम माया प्रदान की जाए चैन एक्सपी दान की जाए नील रामय दान की जाए छह समय तो वृत्ति डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए छह समय तो प्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए भैया मदंग की जाए श्री हरिनायन संकर्तन की जाए इसका फाउंडेशन विभूति फाउंडेशन श्री प्रभुपाद की जाए श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जाय श्री श्री राधेश्याम सिंह की जाय श्री श्री लक्ष्मी निश्विंग की जाय श्री श्री गणता की जाय ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल द डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल द डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू द यंग असेंबल द डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री देवानंद गौर ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Samnam Bhavanam, Chapter 7, something about Trinavata. The killing of the demon Trinavata, text 37, which is the last verse in the chapter, or it has bonus verses. The purport contains three bonus verses, so although it's one, it is many. All right, let's start then. With your permission. Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Rajan Sanjapa Vepatru Rajan Sanjata Vepatru Rajan Sanjata Vepatru Samilaya Nigasvakshi Samilya Samilya Migas Avakshi Samilya Migas Avakshi Samilya Migas Avakshi Nitre Asit Suvishmita Nitre Asit Suvishmita Nitre Asit Suvishmita Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Rajan Sanjata Vepatu Samilyam Migasa Vakshi Nitre Asit Suvishmita. If you'd be so kind. Next. Responsibly, please. No, sorry. and all of our shortcomings. And if you need any extra, I can loan out any of mine. Okay, word for word's responsible, please. Thank you. Saha. Mother Yashoda. Riksha. Vaisin. Vishvam. The whole universe. Sahasa. Suddenly. Within the mouth of her son. Rajan, O King, Maharaj Prithu, Shandata Vetutu, whose heart was a beating, Samilya, opening, Megasava Akshi. Like the eyes of a deer cub. Nature. Her two eyes. Asit. Became. Suvishmita. Astonished. Thank you very much. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Dr. Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb. And in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Please repeat. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb. And in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Anyone who's dealt with a small child knows that there's no rest for the eyes. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of her pure maternal love, Mother Yashoda thought that this wonderful child, playing so many tricks, must have had some disease. She did not appreciate the wonders shown by her child. Rather, she wanted to close her eyes. She was expecting another danger, and therefore her eyes became restless like those of a deer cub. This was all the arrangement of Yogamaya. The relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. In that love, Mother Yashoda did not very much appreciate the display of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulences. That's the purport. And then, at the beginning of this chapter, two extra verses sometimes appear. Evam bahune kalani vopanam sam sa joshitam vandasya gehe varudhe huvan vishnu tamarana. Quote, in this way, to chastise and kill the demons, the child Krishna demonstrated many activities in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and the inhabitants of Vraja enjoyed these incidents. End quote. Ramsa Hrida Vishnu Nandaga Janarana Kurvan Anisham Anandam Gopalanam Saryoshitam. Quote, to increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopas and the gopis, Krishna, the killer of all demons, was thus raised by his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. End quote. Sripad Vijaya Dvash Tirtha also adds another verse after the third verse in this chapter. Vistayaneha karunyat sava papa panasanam vaktum asiye damagya dayalus tvam iti pabo. Parikshit Maharaj then requested Sukadeva Goswami to continue speaking such narrations about the pastimes of Krishna so that the king could enjoy from them transcendental bliss. End quote. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 10th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasudeva Goa Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Vajam Sanjata Vepatu Saniya Nigasa Avakshi Nature Asit Surishmita. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of the child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment she wanted to close her restless eyes. This, the eyes of a doe, or the eyes of a fawn, or here it says a deer cub. So they stare, because if you go to the Potomac Temple and just take a walk or drive your car around the area, there are deer everywhere. Right? You can hit them very easily. And so they're trained by their elders who are, have witnessed their relatives hit many times. But there they go. It's like roadkill, limitless roadkill in that area. And so the deer, they stop still and they open their eyes. So one year I was there and producing the Ramayana, and I never put the deer in the play. It's there, but it's not visible. But one girl who played many parts, she wanted to play the deer, so I thought, well, no, yes, no, back and forth. And I would have to make a mask for her, like a deer, a beautiful golden deer. So I was debating that as I was walking, not further than the donation box from my, there was this little deer with wide open eyes, and it was kind of a brownish, unusual coloring with very unique outlining around the eyes. Like this, just standing, not moving. I mean, I walk right by, I say, Hare Krishna, how are you? And I walk, keep going. So the eyes are staring at the same thing within the consciousness is this incredible restlessness. And if there's danger, just like the parampara of the ostrich and the rabbit, if there's intense danger, play dead or hide your head. You don't look at it. So Mother Yashoda's fear is not her own. It's a fear on behalf of her child. And because suddenly, can you imagine this, your dentist opens your mouth and suddenly he sees a lot of activity there. He's like, what's that? Right? And he would have to adjust his vision. Right? As in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is given divine eyes, right, very casually by Krishna. He says, oh, you can't see me with your usual eyes. So I'll give you divine eyes, and then you can see the rest of the universal form. That's formal, between friends. But here, between mother and child, No formality. Of course, he's very young. He couldn't speak if he wanted, but he's playing the part so expertly of a small child. He says, let's give her a glimpse. Right? So suddenly, it says, she's looking at him. There's the whole universe right there, right? Inside of a mouth. And she immediately thinks the worst of the situation. God, this child is possessed. Oh no, more danger, or this child is diseased. Look what's inside his mouth. What if it falls out? Right. Mother is very concerned with what's going in and coming out of every child. Very important issue for every mother. Right. So, oh no, what's this? And she wants to close her eyes, to cut off the vision. She's not interested in that vision. Even though it's big revelation, right? It's a big revelation. Krishna shows you everything. All of creation. That she wants not to have her intimate, personal relationship with Krishna mess with. Hey, what's this? What's this stuff? The whole universe between me and Krishna, my emotional connection with him is being interfered with. And, oh no, close your eyes. Want to wander in the close your eyes, but still have to see. Be attentive to the child, as I mentioned before. If you're in the company of an infant, you really have a chance to close your eyes. You must always keep attention. Right? That's on every item in the marketplace. You can go behind the temple and see buckets. They have warnings. You know, if you're completely foolish and there's no common sense, don't put the child near the bucket for the water because the child will throw. People are so dumb now that they can't watch the child and they fall into a bucket and drown. I was using someone's step stool, and there's a warning on the step stool, so this high, that misuse of the step stool as not designated can cause serious injury or death. Disclaimer on everything. Right? So what's your disclaimer for being in this material world? I was born that way. I was born that way. Right? Or the other one, the devotee version of I was born that way is, it's Kali Yuga. What can I do? It's Kali Yuga. But if you look in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says exactly what to do during Kali Yuga, and that's chant Hare Krishna and give it to other people. Go out on Harinam Sankirtan. For Kali Yuga, that's it. What else can you do? There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. So that covers kind of the purport there, and then there are these three verses, and they have very interesting points. Two of them contain the affectionate term Janardhan, very nice name for Krishna. Here it's the destroyer of all demons. And in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find it translated as a maintainer of everyone. That's one. And the other is enemy of demons. Enemy of the demons. Right? And so how does he maintain peace and tranquility or prosperity in the material world? Is that he offers you his program. It's available for those of you who are not so familiar with it. You know, it's here. His program is there. And if you follow his program, then you vanquish the demon within, and the demons without are right, properly situated without. Right? Without your association and without your input. They don't need it. They're good with what their program. Right? But the program for Krishna consciousness is very simple. Appreciate and recognize Krishna's involvement in every aspect of your existence. And how to detect that is how miserable you are. In the material world, Krishna is facilitating everyone to realize how miserable it is. Right? And that's what the common denominator in all three verses, these three extra bonus verses, is that for his personal transcendental bliss, for the increase of happiness of the gopas and gopis, and so that Maharaj Pariksit could experience happiness, transcendental bliss, beyond compare. You know? Yes, the inhabitants of Raja enjoyed these incidents. Right? To increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopas and gopis. Krishna, the killer of demons, was raised. And the third one is Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadev Goswami to continue speaking such narrations about the pastimes of Krishna so that the king could enjoy them from them, transcendental bliss. Right? It's contained with every drop you can extract from Rara bliss. And we can read, of course, it is well known that you can read Krishna's pastimes over and over and over again, and they are so synonymous with Krishna that because he's ever youthful, ever fresh, his pastimes are also ever fresh. No one tires of them. I was just reading, actually I was reading the third canto of Bhagavatam yesterday evening. What a rarity. And Pushkar called me and said, "You want to get to class?" I said, "Who's this?" I couldn't, everything else I could hear, but not his name. I said, "Pushkar. It's Pushkar." Most people don't pronounce their name very well. Fortunately, Krishna's name is different from ours, so we can pronounce it more clearly. If you ask, "How, what's your name?" And they say, no, like this. We should be aware of the clarity or the distinction of Krishna's name. Krishna's name. There's another word. You'll find it in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Three Modes of Material Nature. It's very similarly pronounced. There's Krishna with a K, and there's Trishna with a T. Yeah? Trishna. It means hankering. Hankering. So if you mispronounce your Hare Krishna, 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 then he'll give you none of this hankering. Right? K is kind of important. And you may notice some people, even though they've been chanting for many, many decades even, they still somehow are hankering. Right? So Krishna's fulfilling your call. It's your call. Call Krishna or call hankering, either way, 1-800, you got it. Right? As you like. It's toll free. You get, well, it's 24-hour support, no problem for you. Right? Otherwise, you can get direct connection, no long-distance bliss. By seeing that Krishna's pastimes are here, Krishna's instructions are here, but Krishna's personal, intimate relationship is here. Local call. No nickel required. Done. You and Krishna together. Bliss. Right? Even though the external party is miserable, right? And he's always tripping you up and challenging and playing tricks, which is, that's his bag. He likes to play. He's a prankster. Right? He's anything you need. He'll cheat you out of every wager you've ever thought you could make. Right? It's gone. Right? He's only banking on the sure thing. Your eternal loving relationship with him. That's where he banks. Right? And if you bank elsewhere, you're going to get minus interest. So the other day, Madame Mahaprabhu was quoting, was it 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? But of course, he's the technician in the building, so he wanted me to share my realization on chapter 9, text 22, which is Anantas Chintayata Mam. But those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Looking tightly at the purport, you can understand that with some merciful revelation from Krishna, that what little we have, truly have, is our Krishna consciousness. And that's what Krishna maintains. He maintains your Krishna consciousness. The rest can't be maintained. We have it for some time, and that's it. And he carries what you lack, or carries what you lack. And what do you lack? You lack your relationship with Krishna. He's carrying. From time immemorial, we've turned our back on Krishna. Now, he doesn't mind. He's very patient. And we could benefit greatly by his example. I mean, he is the supreme preceptor. He is the everyone's spiritual master. He's also an acharya. He teaches by example. He's very patient. So we lack our relationship with him. Everyone does. But he doesn't lack his relationship with us. He maintains it. He never turns his back on us. That's why there's a shadow of our existence. When we look at ourselves in the material world, we see, I see now, shadow. Because the light is behind us. We have turned our back on the light, as Gandhi Gandhi mentioned, you know, the Christian concept. You have to see the light. You know, before, the light's coming from somewhere, and it's emanating from Krishna's smiling face, which is not only beautiful and radiant, but it's fragrant. Fragrant, the aroma of honey is the scriptural relationship to Krishna's smile, honey-scented smile. Huh? Some years back, Matharesh Prabhu, he told me about, maybe he heard it directly in a lecture, but I looked all over the folio to find it, and he was quoting Prabhupada as saying, Krishna consciousness is gold. You know, golden opportunity, golden avatar, right? The gold band with the diamond in the center, Krishna in the center, you know that one? Also, ninth chapter. But, he went on, Srila Prabhupada said, it's not only gold, it's fragrant gold. So you have gold, it's nice, valuable, heavy, beautiful, shiny, whatever value system you use, you know, usually gold is okay. Most people will not reject gold. But then you can have fragrant gold. So even better than gold. Right? Fragrant gold. And fragrance. So the fragrance is so subtle. It is invisible. Carried on the pure air is a fragrance of garbage. Or a flower. Right? This year, this time of year, and wherever you go, it's heaven. The honeysuckle is coming up on one side, and for this month only, and your local bush is the jasmine. Right? These are fragrant flowers. It's, by the way, if you've read the Nectar of Devotion recently, you may notice in the chapter about offenses to be avoided, that offering flowers without fragrance is considered an offense. It's a useless flower, useless. Right? Of course, they're pretty, but nothing beats jasmine and honeysuckle for fragrance, more or less. So our clear consciousness carries that invisible aroma or fragrance of our relationship with Krishna. And you can sense his personal presence because it smells good. It's something transcendental available. It's intangible. You can't really tactily feel it or perceive it with gross senses, but you can sense it within. The mind is the sense within. And so one who meditates on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead embraces Krishna as his bosom friend, right? That's pretty close, right? And even closer, you know, we offer our namaste, you can embrace the other devotee right here and pull that person closer to our heart. Right? Physical contact, that's okay, but more or less. But the linking of emotions, the intertwining of spirit, soul, that's what keeps us going. Right? How is it that we're so happy to see these old people all the time? Right? You may wonder when you see these old people, how is it that they, you know, I mean, it's old people, they don't look very nice anymore. You know? But there's a bond of service, a bond of pleasure, experience, a shared mutual understanding, realization of Krishna, that we are all eternal and that we are not going to kick off. And the body's going to fall down, and all that, right? That the service will continue. Oh dear, I thought I could finish it off this time. You know, a lot of people are time savers. And they say, okay, well, I'm going to do that, and then I go and do something else. Do this, and then, right? And finish your rounds and throw your bead bag down. That's it. I'm done. Now I can go and watch TV. Right? And you watch TV, and right away, Krishna sends you some movie with the Hare Krishnas in it. Right? You can't get away from them. Oh, my God! Right? Wherever you look, they're there. Right? Because they're here. And Krishna's drawing you closer. Even when you're intent on being miserable, he makes you so miserable that you have no other choice but to think of him. Frustration in the material world, according to Sukadeva Goswami and the Parampara, frustration, when you feel it, it's special mercy from Krishna. Get that. Well, for the ordinary person, that frustration, anger, fall down into material field, the same pattern, reverse, Krishna brings you closer to him. Nothing's working for me now. Yeah, good. Now you can give up being a controller. Right? And no matter how hard I try, my body can't enjoy. Yeah, good. You're not the enjoyer. Right? And the harder you try, the duller it gets. Now, I've used this example a few times in the past. Where your intelligence is a very important facet. It's the neighbor, a next door neighbor of the soul. So if you try to take your intelligence and cut through matter, it's just going to get really dull and won't work very well at all. But if you, like the book distributors, they take their intelligence out and they lightly stroke material energy back and forth like this. Oh, hi, how are you? Have you learned about Krishna? Oh, really? Do you have a dollar, or 10, or 50, or 20, or 100? Here's a whole pile of it. Back and forth, lightly, lightly, your intelligence becomes keen, very sharp. And when there's a challenging situation, like some bogus philosophy from some rascal who comes up to you, who read it in some completely useless book or made it up by himself and wrote it on the back of his cookie box, you can slice right through it because your intelligence is so sharp. Because Krishna at every step is revealing more and more to your intelligence, if that's your intention, and you have the skill to lightly hold the blade in the right position at the proper angle, and that's your desire, because your desire will be fulfilled. So this verse that I just trying to elucidate a little bit, this I heard was often quoted by Jayananda, and Jayananda's appearance is just around the corner, about 2 weeks away. And he would quote this, and he would jokingly say to the devotees for encouragement, because joking is an aspect of our relationship with devotees. There's one lecture, Prabhupada says, devotees, being with devotees is very fun and very pleasurable because they're always cutting jokes. Cutting. That's again, using your intelligence, not ridicule, not putting people down or satire. Actually, there's some letters where Prabhupada said, no business with satire. And of course, so Jayananda said, oh, when it comes to preserving what I have, then Krishna doesn't have to do very much. And that's, if you look deeper into that, Krishna was putting words into his mouth. Yes, and truly, he was so Krishna conscious, right? So, yeah, Krishna doesn't have to do so much because you're holding up your end, you're next. And as far as what I lack, he's so busy. So, of course, that's humor. You know? No one lacks anything other than Krishna consciousness. Right? No. If you have one, you have the other. If you have recognition that Krishna is maintaining you, then no shortage. Right? No shortage. Full satisfaction. Manasa prasad. The mercy of the mind. Satisfaction. And this came up earlier in this chapter. It's quite intriguing topic, the satisfaction. The word satisfaction has its root origin in a Sanskrit word, sati. Sati. And the word that sat, sati. That word means chaste. So if one is chaste, like a proper man or woman in a relationship, no wandering eye, right? If one is chaste in their relationship with Krishna, they're satisfied with whatever circumstance he provides. whatever allotment is yours. Yeah, this is my quota? Okay, good enough for now. Right? No hankering. Right? Krishna, not Trishna. So let's see, one more little thought I had as I walked up this morning. You know, Pushkar said, if you're going to a class, you should be a Mangalarti. I walk from town, I chant the prayers, I'm there in spirit. I could go online and be there, but, you know, why bother booting up a computer to be, you know, like, I'm mostly deaf anyway, so you know, I can't appreciate it. But I do know the meaning of the prayers. So I meditate on them. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that my life is short and life will be crowned with success if the body wears out with constant discourses on Hari. Well, the discourse doesn't have to be just one-sided. You sit and listen. You know, you can take your realizations and share them with others. That's a discourse. And then I'm very fortunate that I'm allowed to speak before you. Thank you so much for the privilege. And if my body wears out any moment, you know, please dispose of it as cheaply as possible. And neglect all ceremony. And I'd be very happy to come back and serve you one more time. So if there's I'm fighting with tinnitus, which doesn't seem to help being amplified, but sometimes with the radical amplification, I can hear over the ringing in my head. So we're open for criticism, correction, comment or question. I'll read the verse one more time. The translation is, when Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her eyes. Let's see, plug in. Comment? Question? Okay. Hang on. See if we can perceive it.
Anyway, my question had to do with the nature of Trinivarta, that Putana represented false guru. Trinivarta represents
it represents what you can invest. Because a false guru, you know, that we could talk about false guru until lunchtime and then go on till tomorrow's lunchtime. If you want to talk about a false, because there's pretense, and then there's position, and then there's not knowing what you're talking about, and there's New Age guru, all that stuff, right? So the topic can expand like anything. Last time I spoke, I talked about Trinivarta. From my angle of vision, from what's given in these pages, without relating with another text, that Trinivarta is going around, right? And then that's like material desires. They just keep going, circulating, trying to become stronger and trying to control the situation. And in the verse that I had the pleasure of reading the last time, Trinivarta was sent by Kamsa, instigated. His activity was instigated by Kamsa. Kamsa. And Kamsa was his instructor, and he accepted that. So what I brought up was, you get the result of your master. So the master, if the master's a pure devotee, you can go in that direction. If the master's a rascal, you can, you know, get the result of that. If the master is the target of Krishna's doom, right? The premonition that Kamsa will be killed by Krishna. So he gets a share of that. And what I related with was the movement of the circular movement, lifting things up, very, very powerful. No one can compete with the heaviness of Krishna. Right? The independent thinking that takes us on that repeated cycle of birth and death, right? But ultimately it's crushed by Krishna, who's not at all harmed by the fall. Doomed. Every demon has parallels. The parallels are thinking they're the controller and thinking that they're very powerful, usurping Krishna's position. I don't know the other scriptural references that There's probably one demon for every anatta, right? But I don't know that one. I haven't troubled myself with that book yet. 1 second. Plug in. Yes, Peter? Is it working now? Yeah,
hello. Mother Yashoda's eyes were compared to the restless fawn or deer. If you look, the deer is prey to all the big cats, to the hunter, like the tiger, the lion, the cheetah, the puma, the panther, the hunter, everything, you know, even smaller cats, they all. And the smallest fawn, that's the one that's most preyed upon. So I guess the eyes has to be constantly on the lookout. Otherwise, it cannot survive. See? Yeah. So it's a nice comparison. See, just that.
Thank you very much. Madame? No? All right, well, thanks very much for your attention. Please bless me, and I reciprocate. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.